that day in the United States, and is on the court. Be seated, please.
Very good morning to the court.
Good morning.
I want to start with the first claim on appeal that Mr. Coburn's, or the Army separation of Mr. Coburn was unlawful because he had been referred into the Army Physical Disability Evaluation System and the pertinent regulations required that he be processed to completion through that system while he was on active duty. And the principal authority for that is Army Regulation 635-200, Chapter 1-33A, which is found in the plaintiff's addendum at page 9. And it provides that except in separation actions under Chapter 10, and as provided in paragraph 1-34B, disposition through medical channels takes precedence over administrative separation processing. Now, the Army, before they actually separated Mr. Coburn, they had twice attempted to do so, and both times the separation orders were revoked. He had filed complaints with the Inspector General, and the Inspector General effectively agreed with his position that he was to be retained on active duty to complete his disability processing. And the IG statement is at the, in the joint appendix at page 88 and provides, it was learned by research that Mr. Coburn should have been retained until the medical process is completed. At the time the separation orders were cut, the soldier was in the medical evaluation board process and should not have been processed.
Now, the regulations don't expressly preclude the referring physician from terminating the MEB, do they?
I believe they do by virtue of the lack of
expressly,
authority.
The words expressly. They don't expressly preclude it.
No, Your Honor, expressly they do not. By virtue of the limitations on the authority, on what the referring physician's authority is.
So what we have an instance in is we have regulations that don't clearly address the issue. What are we supposed to do as a reviewing court when we have regulations that don't expressly address the issue?
Well, applying the principles of statutory interpretation, look at the plain language. If it's
and
not,
and we just said the plain language.
If it's unclear, I think it is clear when it's looked at in conjunction with the provisions governing the MEB and the PEB process. One of the things I put into evidence was a schematic diagram produced by the Army itself, which displays and describes the processes, and it clearly shows that the referring physician's authority is limited only to an initial determination of whether he meets retention standards, which simply is done by looking at the Army regulation for that, and at that stage he goes to the MEB. The distinction or the division of labor is very, very important. I don't know of any civilian counterpart to this process.
Who, in your view, who would have authority to terminate the MEB?
The Medical Evaluation Board itself could determine that he did meet retention standards, and they could...
Because in your brief, you indicate that... Is the pronunciation of the name Dr. Casido?
Casido. Yes,
you said that he terminated the process, but the record only shows that he wrote a request to the PEVLO.
Precisely. He submitted his request. It went to the officer that coordinates with the soldiers, called a PEBLO. He had the endorsement of the deputy commander of the hospital.
So who terminated it? Dr. Hirsch?
Dr. Caicedo. He initiated the process. He endorsed it. He recommended it. And then it was endorsed by his boss. I think the deputy commander of the
So
of
he
the
had
hospital.
Authority to terminate the MEB?
No.
So who terminated it?
The Army. It was terminated. I'm not sure of the process about what occurred. In the absence of pretty extensive discovery, it's hard to determine precisely what happened. I think the right hand was unsure of what the left hand was doing. What I think happened,
wait a second. I'm confused. Somebody had authority. Even under your argument, somebody would have had authority to terminate the MEB, right?
The Medical Evaluation Board had the authority to end the process. If it determines that the person...
So who ended it here?
It proceeding before it got to the MEB.
I see.
Before it got to the MEB, and that's precisely why it was unlawful.
Okay. Let me ask you about the drug test. Now,
yes,
as I understand it, the drug test showed that he had twice the allowable limit for marijuana use, right?
It was nonetheless a comparatively low nanogram level. I think the point, and it's not relevant because He went before a formal board of officers where he had, who was represented by counsel.
One says it couldn't meet a preponderance of the evidence. Other says beyond a reasonable doubt. But,
right.
But let's focus on the one that said beyond reasonable doubt. What was the evidence in front of them? Why did they?
That was, it's a summary process that's called an Article 15 process. And he appeared before his commanding officer. He didn't, he was,
there was a drug test that was used, right?
Yes, sir.
The results of a drug test.
And, yes, sir.
And my notes show that it showed twice the allowable limit.
Maybe it could have been false positives. It could have been that he was ingesting something else that tested positive for marijuana.
But wasn't that the basis for the commanding officer to conclude there was beyond a reasonable doubt that he had used marijuana?
That's correct. Based on a very limited process, and I don't know what evidence was presented in that hearing, mm-hmm. if it can be called a hearing. So the commanding officer determined, he found by beyond reasonable doubt that he had unlawfully used marijuana, referred him to the separation board, which is a higher authority. Much more due process rights attach, the presentation of witnesses, cross-examination of witnesses.
You say it's a higher authority. It's not a reviewing authority, though. It wasn't reviewing the commanding.
No, it's not reviewing.
It's a different process.
It's a higher authority in the sense that it has authority to recommend the retention, which is absolute recommendation, or the separation of a soldier.
But it wasn't reviewing the work of the commanding officer. It wasn't reviewing that hearing
for
its legality and its propriety.
No, sir. No, Your Honor.
It's a different process.
Correct. It was substantive and not procedural.
Your appeal doesn't really embrace the marijuana use because you've only gone after the second and third ABCMR.
Right. Correct. And the argument there is that the district court erred by dismissing the claim. I came on the case in the district court. Mr. Coleman had different counsel before the ABCMR. He raised the issue of marijuana use in his first appeal, which was decided in 2002. He was pro se. He appeared pro se again in his second application. And he didn't mention the Article 15, the marijuana use issue. He focused on his separation under this qualitative management program, which we're focusing on. That they turned him down. He hired counsel, who's very good counsel, and went back to the board for an application, and she did mention the unjustness of the fact that he was separated for something that he was later found not to have committed. Point about why the district court erred in not considering it is principally because the ABCMR itself incorporated that first decision into its two subsequent decisions under the consideration of the evidence. So the evidence of that first application was before the next two boards. It was also in the administrative record, and I think we have to presume, given it's an allegation of unlawful drug use, that the subsequent boards may have based their decision in part on a very unfavorable impression resulting from the allegation of marijuana use.
Well, the problem is, no matter pro se or not, I didn't catch the incorporation argument, and my reading of the record suggests that you really have not. The matter of the Article 15 marijuana use was not really preserved, raised or preserved. You're arguing now, well, come on, Judge, they must have been aware of it. That's not the way we raise arguments, though.
Well, look at the standard of what the court requires, this court. And what is the policy underneath that the court not pass judgment on an issue or a claim which the agency itself has not had the opportunity to decide? That's the principle underlying the exhaustion requirement.
No, that's not the principle. The principle that I'm talking about is if you have not, you and your client have not raised and preserved an issue, then it's not before us.
In the district court or in?
You've got to raise it there and then re-raise it as an issue before us. It's got to be raised and preserved in the district court, and then raised and preserved in the court of appeals.
We did raise it in the district court.
Well, I don't see the Article 15 marijuana use being raised in the district court.
I think specifically was one of the claims, actually, and the judge dismissed. He said he was not going to consider the claim because of a failure, because he didn't have a decision to review. So with great respect, Your Honor, I believe that it is sufficiently incorporated in the record. The district court place considerable emphasis on the declaration that Dr. Caicedo provided for the purposes of the litigation. And there are a number of very significant inaccuracies in there that we've pointed out in the briefing, and I can go over quickly with the court if it would like. But probably the most important that seemed to influence the district court was the statement that Mr. Coburn was offered surgery on March 27th and declined. Now, a review of the record reveals that that's false. Mr. Coburn was not offered surgery and was told that it could worsen his condition, and Dr. Caicedo himself contradicted him in the medical record, where he wrote on the 23rd of June that Mr. Coburn had in fact undergone a neurology consultation but was told that he was not a surgical candidate at this time. So the point being here, the second part of the argument, if Dr. Caicedo did not have authority to terminate the MEB, then that should be the end of the issue, that the separation was unlawful and the court can send it back to the district court. If the court found that he had authority, then the next step in the analysis is whether the decision to terminate the board was supported by substantial evidence or was an abuse of discretion. In our position, obviously, that it is. There was no change in his medical status. If anything, it had worsened. He had, in fact, in August and again in October, epidural steroid injections to control the pain in his back. They had placed him on a permanent profile that required MEB processing. None of that changed from the time of his referral to the MEB until the time of his separation. Further evidence of that is the VA finding, which I believe he's presently rated as 70%, I believe 50% for his spinal conditions. Probably most importantly, with Dr. Caicedo's affidavit, he states that Mr. Coburn was performing his duties fine. Well, he was performing duties other than those of his military specialty, and he was doing so because of the profile issued by Dr. Caicedo. So he was basically performing administrative duties, although in the affidavit he makes it appear that he was performing his regular duties as an infantry soldier without any issues, and that is not the case.
Okay, just so I am clear on this, it looks like Dr. Caicedo's affidavit here is dated 2009, so that was not before the ABCMR.
No, Your Honor.
Right? Ever.
No, Your Honor. Okay. That's correct.
And the only thing we really have in the record that supports your argument that Dr. Caicedo could not have terminated this on his own is basically this chart that shows the MEB process.
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry. Also, the regulations, the regulations that specify, for example, the authority of the referring physician. It basically is to make a referral, to make a determination whether the person has medical issues.
Well,
that...
Let me ask you this another way. Is there any regulation that says the primary care doctor cannot terminate the MEB process?
No, Your Honor, not that I'm aware of.
And is there any regulation that says only the medical evaluation board can terminate this process?
Not in that language, Your Honor, but implicitly. In terms of the functions that the board is given, and I appreciate how your inquiry relates to Judge Griffith as well. So.
Okay.
But no, there's nothing that says he can terminate, nothing that says that he can't terminate, unfortunately.
All right, thank you.
So. No further questions.
You can reserve the rest of your time.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court, this case is about the Army Board for Correction of Military Records decisions in 2003 and in 2007. And this court should affirm those decisions for three reasons. First, what the appellant points to regarding his preservation of his claims is background information at best. He does not ask for relief or try to revive those claims about his marijuana use or his qualitative management program termination. Second, while appellant may have medical issues, the medical evidence in the record does not compel a different result than that reached by the board. And third, two doctors appropriately terminated the appellant's disability processing. The district court here reviewed the administrative record and the board's decision and affirmed the ABCMR's findings on the issues that appellant raised. The appellant first only asked for review of the ABCMR's decisions from 2003 and 2007.
But he did incorporate, he did, the language of incorporation by reference is there, isn't it? What does it mean?
Your Honor, the language specifically states incorporated him.
He brought the Article 15 proceeding up in 2001, right, before the ABCMR, right? So the question
yes, Your
is
Honor.
Whether he preserved that by this language of incorporation by reference. So why didn't he do that?
For two reasons, Your Honor. First, I think you have to focus on his actual applications from 2003 that resulted in the 2003 and 2007 decisions. The language in those applications only requests relief on two bases: improper termination of the MEB for medical reasons, as well as, medical evaluation board, as well as the fact that he claims that Dr. Saedo didn't have the authority under Army regulations to terminate. In fact,
you say that those were his arguments in 2003 and 2007, right?
Correct, Your Honor. So he never raised that to the board. Mm-hmm. Importantly, at that point in time, when he filed for his application, he was still within the request for reconsideration period of 1 year to ask for reconsideration of the 2002 opinion. So when he applied and only asked for issues as it related to his MEB termination, it was reasonable for the board at that point in time to conclude he was satisfied with the result of the 2002 opinion, and therefore it did need to address that.
What did the language mean? What do you think he meant by the language of incorporating by reference the previous proceedings?
Your Honor, I think the language means exactly what it says. Herein, incorporated herein by reference are military records which were summarized in the previous consideration of the
case.
If one
were to look at those records, they would see this Article 15 issue raised and addressed, right?
Well, Your Honor, they would see his military records. It's nothing more than the shorthand for the board to, instead of having to summarize everything that they, all the records they considered in the 2002 case. That's it. It doesn't say anything.
What other issues were raised in the 2002 case beyond the Article 15 issue?
Your Honor, it dealt with the removal, essentially, of his Article 15 and his...
It was all about Article 15.
In his evaluation report, I believe, Your Honor, I have to... Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to get at your understanding of what's the purpose in 2003, when he incorporates by reference the Article 15 proceedings, what possible purpose would that have other than to preserve those issues?
Your Honor,
ask the court to consider that.
It's not, I disagree with the fact that it is incorporating the arguments. All it is doing is shorthand for saying we considered these records that we also considered back in 2002,
those
military records.
Were the 2002 records relevant to the disposition in 2003?
Yes, Your Honor, because it involved his official military personnel file, for instance, and his medical records that were reviewed as part of the process in 2003 and 2007. It's nothing more than shorthand reference, and that's it. In order for the court to believe the appellant's argument in this case as it relates to this incorporation issue, the ABCMR wouldn't ever be able to refer to anything. The ABCMR naturally refers to someone's someone's personnel records.
Let's imagine just hypothetically that I disagree with you, that I think the Article 15 issue is alive. How do you reconcile the Article 15 disposition with the ADS disposition? ASB disposition. One says, prove beyond a reasonable doubt marijuana use, and the other says, under preponderance of the evidence, there's no marijuana use. Those are irreconcilable, aren't they?
On its face, those are irreconcilable, yes.
On their face? How about below their face? I mean, there's no way they can be reconciled, right?
Well, I disagree.
Doesn't that suggest something's gone wrong here?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it suggests anything's gone wrong for two reasons. First, the Article 15 process is a disciplinary process, and it's separate and distinct from the separation process or the Administrative Separation Board process, which is administrative in nature. It deals with whether we're going to retain...
They're looking at the same issue, right? Marijuana use. And one said beyond reasonable doubt he did it. The other said preponderance of the evidence he didn't. I don't know how that can be.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, there's nothing in the record that tells us why the Administrative Separation Board reached the determination they did. The only independent evidence in the record suggests that the correct determination first was the Article 15 determination beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, that's the stronger case, isn't it? The Article 15 review looks more rational, doesn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. But as importantly, this is exactly the reason we have the Army Board for Correction of Military Records. It's to look at and apply agency expertise in certain circumstances to determine if an error or injustice exists. That's their statutory mandate and their regulatory mandate. They did that in 2002, and they determined that relief wasn't warranted.
But they were aware of both and looked at both? And
yes, Your Honor.
This is how they tried to reconcile them.
Yes, Your Honor. They looked at both, and they determined that relief wasn't warranted. As importantly, before that, there is a review by the Enlisted Records Review Board. There's a review by the Department of the Army Suitability Evaluation Board. There is a review by his brigade commander, the imposing officer of the Article 15.
What's the rational explanation given by any of those reviews to justify the differences?
Your Honor, for the...
What's the reasonable basis offered?
The reasonable basis...
Other than a conclusion.
Your Honor, the reasonable basis offered is that he didn't meet the regulatory standard, that the clear injustice exists under the regulation.
What does that mean?
Your Honor, clear injustice is defined in Army Regulation 27-10.
Aren't they saying they just didn't believe the ASB?
Well,
something went wrong in the ASB?
I think that's part of it, Your Honor. I mean, they're applying the regulatory presumption that the administrators act in good faith. And then, more importantly, I think on top of all of that, there's no independent evidence suggested in this record that anything other than the findings themselves were given to support the appellant's argument. In other words, there's nothing in this record that suggests that he presented what was actually done that led to the Administrative Separation Board's conclusion. Certainly, the brigade commander knew what led him to his own conclusion when he determined that he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. In fact, appellant cites in his complaint United States versus Brewer, which stands for the proposition that once you have a positive urine analysis, that a presumption arises that it's knowing and willful use of that substance, and therefore a determination beyond a reasonable doubt is appropriate.
I just can't understand why the ASB did what they did, and we don't have any explanation for it. It just looks strange.
Your Honor, I agree. While it may look strange, these are the types of decisions.
And we're supposed to give great deference here, undue deference. I understand that, but I just don't see any rational way to square these two.
Your Honor, maybe there's not a rational way to square them from a strict legal standpoint.
So if we're dealing with something that's irrational, how do we typically respond to that?
You defer to the board's judgment in that case.
Irrational judgment? No, I don't think we do.
Who said that?
Your Honor, I don't think...
Our deference is great, but it never goes that far.
I don't think that the board was irrational in its determination.
Well, if we think it's irrational, what do we do?
Your Honor, then your remedy is to remand. But in this case, it doesn't matter because he never raised those issues. And there's no jurisdiction, or they're waived, or whether you want to call it exhaustion, however you want to term it, there's a defect here that those issues aren't and should not be reviewed here.
But if they are reviewed, that's why I start. You know, if they are reviewed, it's a serious problem.
If they are reviewed, it's only a serious problem if you think that the Army Board for Correction of Military Records, after applying the unusually deferential standard that this court applies to their decisions, after the application of that standard of review, you determine that they're arbitrary and capricious. Then you could remand them for more explanation on why that they made that determination. But in this case, first, I believe that they...
Can I get you to address the power to terminate the MEB? Did Dr. Kisaito, I'm sorry, I keep butchering his name, have the power to terminate the MEB?
First, Your Honor, I'd like to take this opportunity before I answer that question directly to state that our position is that an MEB was never referred. That in this case, what was happening was the medical examination that precedes the MEB referral process, and that that was what was terminated here. In other words, it's the distinction between medical disability.
Dr. Cassido talks about initiating the MEB.
Yes, Your Honor.
That normally means starting the MEB.
Yes, Your Honor.
It means to start. So you're saying it never started? He was wrong when he wrote that?
Our position is that it never started. That's correct. That was loose language maybe.
What starts an MEB? When do we know that an MEB has convened?
Under paragraph 4-9 of AR 635-40, it states that the medical treatment facility commander will refer a case to a medical evaluation board. There's no evidence in this record that the medical treatment facility commander ever referred anything to a medical evaluation board. There is one statement about using the word referral, and it's in a response to a congressional investigation by a junior member of the United States Army. But there's nothing documented in the medical records that shows a decision made by the medical treatment facility commander.
If it had been referred and initiated and started, would Dr. Cassido have the authority to terminate it? Let's imagine the board does convene. Could the referring doctor, in this case Dr. Cassido, stop it? Does he have the authority?
Your Honor, first, he doesn't have the authority to start it. So,
but he's referred it, and in the hypothetical, he's referred it and has started it. And I want to understand, does he have the authority to come into the medical examination board and stop it? No, he wouldn't, right?
I think under that hypothetical, as you've described, but I don't think Dr. Sayed terminated this in this case. You know, moments ago, you were asking the appellant about who actually terminated.
Yeah.
The terminating decision was made by Dr. Schroener here, and it's clear from the record at Joint Appendix, either page 158 or page 109.
But what he terminated wasn't the MEB. You're saying the MEB never got started, right?
Correct. We do not believe the MEB got started, that he was going through the medical processing portion, which is required prior to the referral of an MEB under the same paragraph of the regulation that I've just cited. In essence, there is loose language here between the differentiating between medical evaluation or physical disability processing, which is a broad system that the Army uses, and the referral to an MEB or MEB, the medical evaluation board itself.
So the doctor got it wrong, the district court got it wrong, and you want us to now undo all of that?
Your Honor, I don't believe that the district court got it wrong.
The court said that a physician may terminate an incorrectly initiated MEB.
And again, Your Honor, I think that initiated discusses the issues as it relates to the medical disability processing, not the board itself.
That's what the district court said?
Well, Your Honor, what I will say here is, the district court, first of all, uses language between initiation and referral and uses them interchangeably, the same way that appellant does in his brief. We don't believe that that language is interchangeable first. More importantly, though, what matters here is the board's decision. And the board makes these decisions all the time. They looked at this case. They analyzed the record. They looked at the Army regulations in play here, and they made a determination, and they denied relief. In fact, in denying relief, they specifically stated, the scant medical information available does not indicate that the appellant was medically unfit for retention, nor is there evidence that the physical disability processing was unjustly terminated. Competent medical authority determined that his medical condition was such that he could be discharged. He has provided no medical evidence to indicate otherwise. That decision is not arbitrary, nor is it capricious.
Is physical disability processing distinct from this medical evaluation?
Ma'am, physical disability processing is the entire process. The medical evaluation board is a portion of that process. And in this case, we do not believe that he reached there. But ultimately, the board looked at all the evidence. They looked at the Army regulations, and their determination was reasonable. It was supported by the record, and it was in accordance with Army regulations in this case.
Why does your brief say that an MEB was initiated, if that's not what you believe?
Our brief says that there's a determination that, the evidence shows in the record, there's two pieces of paperwork that says MEB initiated. There's no question about that, Your Honor. But
that's what I assume this court is supposed to assume, that an MEB was initiated.
Your Honor.
Well, your brief says it. You're standing here arguing vigorously to the contrary, and you yourself acknowledge it. The doctor acknowledged it. The district court seemed to assume the same. And all of this reference to process versus the MEB initiation, I don't see any of this being played out anywhere.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree because I believe that...
You're watching your brief or my recitation of what I'm reading in your brief?
There's no question that the evidence in the record says MEB initiated.
And you say that in your brief. And
yes,
not,
Your Honor.
And you're not arguing to the contrary. So as an appellate court, we take that as the starting point. An MEB was initiated. Now, what's your argument with respect to how can it get terminated? You're trying to argue against the record that even you concede exists.
No, I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. Your Honor, we...
Do you respectfully disagree if your brief says what it says?
Because MEB initiated is loose language to mean the medical disability processing started, not the MEB was referred. Otherwise, it would say referral.
This is loose language?
Yes, Your Honor. But more importantly...
Your brief argues that?
I think that the...
Does your brief argue that?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that our brief fairly embraces the concept that what happened here was that the
brief argue, look, we understand we're trapped by loose language, and we're trying to struggle to get away from that, and really, Your Honor, you need to understand it's really not what it appears.
Your Honor, our brief clearly states our belief that that what was going on here was a medical evaluation where the doctor was acting in a gatekeeping role, and when he said MEB initiated, it was to start the medical disability evaluation process. But ultimately...
Once an MEB is convened, can I use that word, convened?
Convened.
What happens? What's the marker that the MEB is now convened?
Your Honor,
What's the event that triggers that?
A determination or referral to a medical evaluation board by the medical treatment facility commander.
Okay, and that didn't happen here.
There's no evidence in the record that it happened.
So who did Casido send his referral to?
There's no evidence that he sent a referral anyways. Where the evidence is that a medical examination was occurring as part of the medical evaluation board.
Patient, what did he do with the information that he got?
Say that again, sir.
He looked at the patient. What did he do with the information that he got?
He made a determination that the soldier was, fit for duty under the regulations.
Right.
He talked to his supervisor, Dr. Schroener,
yep,
believing that in this case it was appropriate to terminate the medical evaluation, right, and Dr. Schroener agreed and approved that termination.
And in your view, that has not triggered the MEB. A medical evaluation board hasn't yet happened, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. Because there's no referral to the medical evaluation board itself. It says initiated, but we believe MEB initiated, while it's not precise language, means that medical disability processing had started.
And is there some regulatory language to support that?
Your Honor, the only regulatory language that will support that is the fact that if you go through both AR-40-501 and AR-635-40, which are the two regulations primarily dealing with the MEB process and the physical disability evaluation system process, if you were to scroll through both of those regulations, you'll see in one of them the word specifically in 635-40, the word initiate only comes into play five times, where the word referrals all through there when it references the MEB. And in those five times, the word initiate really only deals with the medical evaluation board once, and that's in paragraph 4-7, where it says, commanders of MTFs, medical treatment facilities, who are treating soldiers in an assigned, attached, or outpatient status may initiate action to evaluate the soldier's physical ability to perform the duties of their office grade, rank, or rating. In 40-501, the word initiates only in there seven times. It's only once in kind of reference to an MEB. Every other time in 40-501, when you look at the actual standards in Chapter 3, it uses the word refer. Specifically in this case, when you're dealing with the standards that are applicable to appellant, that's paragraph 3-39. That says the causes for referral to an MEB are as follows, and then it lists those causes. So the regulation is specific that to start an MEB itself, it has to be referred. It's also specific that that referral has to be done in AR 635-40 by the medical treatment facility commander. And that reference is in paragraph 4-9 of 635-40. So while the doctor didn't use the most precise language in this case, he's not an attorney. And more importantly, Your Honor, this issue was looked at by the Army Board for Correction of Military Records. These are the types of decisions they make all the time. They looked at the regulations, the evidence in the record, and their determination was reasonable under the circumstances. And therefore, we believe that you should affirm.
Was he referred to the VA?
Your Honor, after he was separated under the Qualitative Management Program, he went to the Veterans Administration to receive a disability rating, which is a distinct system.
Was he referred to the VA?
Your Honor, typically referral to the Veterans Administration doesn't happen during.
Was he referred to the VA? That's all I'm asking.
I do not believe.
To guess what's on my mind. I'm just trying to get an answer to a question.
There's no evidence that I can point to right here that says he was referred to the VA. That would be unusual, anyways.
So that would be significantly unusual.
If he was referred to the VA
while this was ongoing,
he would go through Veterans Administrative briefings and counseling.
The doctor who you claim felt nothing more was warranted but refers him to the VA. I'm asking if that's the scenario.
Your Honor, there's no evidence in the record he was referred for a medical evaluation to the Veterans Administration.
I see that. Should that give me pause?
No, Your Honor.
No, it would be perfect. You said it was unusual a second ago. Now it's not unusual.
It would be unusual if he was referred for a medical evaluation to the Veterans Administration. There's no evidence in the record that he was referred for a medical evaluation. To the extent he's referred for VA counseling, that is the normal process for any soldier separating from the United States military. The reason is that the command wants to give the soldiers the opportunity to understand all the benefits that may be available to them after separation. That's part of the normal separation process of any soldier, regardless of how they're separated.
The only other thing I wanted to ask your view on is using your notion about what was going on. Does the doctor's decision not to refer, you're claiming there was no initiation or referral, is that subject to review? Does that have to be reasonable?
Your Honor, the doctor's decision isn't what's reviewable by this court. What's reviewable by this court is the final agency action in this case.
Right. Does that include an argument that the doctor's decision was not reasonable? Is that part of what the board passed on?
The board determined that it was a reasonable decision. Yes, Your Honor. So you would have to apply the unusually deferential standard to their determination that a competent medical authority made a reasonable
decision. You conclude that the board's decision, that the doctor's decision was reasonable, deserves no deference because it's not supported by the record. We can do that as a matter of review.
Your Honor, I believe that the doctor's decision was amply reasonable.
As a matter of review, if that's what we would have found, right?
You could reverse and remand to the Army Board for Correction of Military Records to explain their rationale more detail.
Depends on what we're looking at. We don't have to ask for an explanation of rationale. One was given, and we say it's infirmed. You don't let these processes go on and on and on if it's an adjudication, and we find there's no substantial evidence or adequate evidence or whatever the standard is to support it, we can simply reverse it.
Your Honor, my position is the appropriate remedy here.
I know what your position is. I'm trying to get you to answer my questions.
Your Honor,
this is where you are now, so you need to satisfy us.
I understand, Your Honor, and I think the appropriate remedy in these cases where you're reviewing a Military Correction Board decision is remand to the Military Correction Board for them to explain. If you don't believe that they properly explain their basis for making a determination.
If we find a situation, this goes on all the time in administrative agencies. Sometimes it's a situation, it's an adjudication, we made our findings and we find they're not supported. You don't let an agency go on and on and on with, well, let's remand and try another 3 years. Oops, you missed it again. Let's send it back for another 3 years. That's not the way it operates in an adjudication. This
okay,
is
Your Honor.
Rulemaking.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Just a few very brief points in response. I think the issue of this question about whether an MEB was initiated or not initiated can be resolved here. A document in the Joint Appendix, page 159, is a memorandum for Mr. Coburn's command, and it's from the Department of the Army Headquarters, U.S. Army Medical Department Activity, Fort Hood, Texas. And it states, a member of your command, Sergeant First Class Coburn Trent, is currently undergoing physical disability processing at this facility. In accordance with regulation, this soldier must remain available to the military treatment facility commander until the physical evaluation board has completed all actions on his or her case. It will take approximately 4 to 5 months, and then the part below is a checklist of documents that the MEB was requesting, or that the hospital was requesting from his unit for the purposes of the MEB. Second point, the regulation authorizes initiation of an MEB using a particular form called an individual sick slip, excuse me, and that's in page 12 of the appellant's addendum, Army Regulation 635-40. And it's paragraph 4-8, and it states, when a commander believes that a soldier of their command is unable to perform the duties of their office, grade, rank, etc., because of physical disability, commander will refer the soldier to the responsible military treatment facility for evaluation. The request for evaluation would be in writing and state the commander's reasons. A DD Form 689 individual six slip may be used for such referral. And that precise form is on page 244 of the Joint Appendix and states MEB initiated and some other matters. Now on the profile, which is on the following page, Joint Appendix 245, the physical profile, it states MEB initiated, signed by Dr. Caicedo, a Dr. Chitwood, and a Dr. Barnes. My understanding, although the regulation is not precise on this point either, is that Dr. Caicedo was acting basically under the delegated authority of the military treatment facility commander, who likely was a colonel or even perhaps a brigadier general. And it's unreasonable to think that the colonel or brigadier general is going to personally conduct every evaluation that comes through his or her facility, particularly at such a large installation like Fort Hood. In terms of the ABCMR and deferring to their judgment, one of the things that that counsel for the Army pointed out was the ABCMR's statement that there was scant medical evidence. Now, when I received the administrative record, the medical evidence was not scant, it's quite voluminous, so I am entirely unclear as to what they were referring to, and I pointed that out to the district court as well. Perhaps they didn't review the record. If they had, they surely would not have said scant medical evidence of his conditions.
Thank you, counsel.
With that, I'll close. Thank you so much.